When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to a new week. Thanks for being here on a Monday. A lot to do. We'll update you on everything that is going on. Some hangover from last week as we get ready for next week. And we'll finally get that schedule reveal. Your phone calls in a moment. A number of guests will be dropping by. Let's get right to it. And some headlines, and how about Bama? We want Bama. Who doesn't want Bama? Kelly and Heupel know what it's like to beat Bama, and we'll find out more about that, as well as some conversation about Billy Napier here in a few minutes. So we have a guest coming up who's going to project your schedule. You don't have to wait till next Wednesday night. Brad Crawford will give it to you right now, and I can't wait because I'm just not patient. I don't want to wait another week and a half. How about a documentary on the Gators? Not the one today. I don't know if there will be a documentary on that one, but Swamp Kings, the Netflix documentary on the 06-09 Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow Gators. We'll tell you more about that. I have a personal aside. I spent all day with these guys it's been about a year and a half now. We'll update on that. It's coming out in August. Meanwhile, current Gators are talking. Billy Napier. Remember, we had him on the other day. Since we have spoken to him, a guest has joined him. Jesse Simonton has interviewed Billy Napier. Jesse, thank you very much. Let's start with Napier because I didn't know really what to make out of seeing him briefly. Again, you're on TV and radio. You never know what coaches are going to say. I know you had a little more in-depth conversation with Billy Napier. We welcome you to our program from On Three. Tell us about that, and then we'll hop around some other subjects that you picked up last week down at the beach.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was good to run into you down in Destin, Paul. Billy Napier, I think, is in a really interesting position. He's kind of walking this challenging tightrope down in Gainesville, where he's kind of preaching patience, but a fan base, you know, wants him to microwave this deal for some instant gratification. They want to see results now, and that's just frankly not where Florida is. Anyone can kind of see that from afar, that Florida is not what Florida once was, whether you're talking to Spurrier heydays or what Urban Meyer did. That was 15 years ago, the last time the Gators won the SEC, and so that's a long time. You've seen a lot of other rivals and schools within the SEC, not only win conference but national titles. The fact that Florida fans see Georgia, their arch rival, winning back-to-back, LSU's resurgent, Tennessee's, making some noise again. Billy Napier's up against it because he did not inherit the best of situations, but it's going to be – we'll see how much rope he actually gets, and I think he's certainly cognizant of that reality.
Jesse, in talking to Scott Strickland, his boss and the man who hired him, as well as Napier last week, I heard everybody singing from the same hymnal. And it sounds great if you're talking about South Florida, but it doesn't sound so great if you're talking about the University of Florida. Fans are sick and tired of hearing patience, even though they have watched this debacle from Muschamp to McElwain, Dan Mullen, every time they thought they had it right and they didn't. So why should they be patient now?
Well, frankly, Paul, they just don't really have a choice because there's no way they can speed up this process. And I think that's the reality that's been the tough pill for Florida fans to swallow. And again, I understand the skepticism. Billy Napier is as meticulously organized and detailed, planned head coach as I've ever been around. And yet, this tightrope that he's walking, I'm talking, is he's basically trying to out Georgia and out Alabama down here in Gainesville, while neither of those programs are slowing down. It's not like you can hit pause on what's happening in Athens and Tuscaloosa and hit the fast forward button on what's happening in Gainesville. It doesn't work that way. And so that's why I think the skepticism is warranted, because even if his plan does require patience, or he has this, you know, 3 to 5 year idea, how much rope is he actually going to get to see this thing come to fruition?
Jesse, I realize you're a reporter. You don't work for the university, and this question may sound awkward, but if you did work for the university and you were at one of these Bull Gator groups, and the guy in the back, after a couple of beers, is not happy about what he saw last year, what could you tell them? What could you say to this disgruntled Florida fan that you have seen from Billy Napier that would give you reason to believe that he is the right one?
Well, Billy Napier believes he has a proof of concept, and I think that that is, you know, his biggest blue check in terms of next to his name. He says, this is how I did it at Louisiana. This is how I plan to do it at Florida. He has admitted culpability and some of the mistakes that both he and I think kind of the organization made a year ago. They admitted they were ill-prepared for NIL and the transfer portal with some of those, you know, swift changes. We all saw that. You know, in real time, the Jaden Rashada saga was a PR nightmare, but it certainly wasn't the only battle that Florida, you know, had to handle behind the scenes. I think they believe that they're much more unified and kind of codified with just kind of the one collective now, with Florida victorious. So his statement, not my statement, Billy Napier's statement would be, you know, I'm the man for the challenge, and I know how to fix this.
Yeah, but Jesse, hold on 1 second. You're laying it out just like they would in terms of what they have said. But, you know, Louisiana is not Florida. We've seen this from Will Muschamp. We've seen this from everybody that has tried to follow a similar template. And why would we believe that the first thing the guy did and the most important thing was screw up NIL? Now that he screwed that up and corrected it, why do we believe now he's going to get it right?
Well, that's the hard part, Paul. We don't there's no answer to this question, because Napier would say, I didn't screw up NIL. It was screwed up before I got here. And that's, again, where, you know, these coaches do the delicate dance where they don't really want to stomp on the grave of the guy that they came before or after, but that's pretty much, you know, what seems to happen in any of these situations, whether you're talking, you know, guys taking over programs at Florida, LSU, or elsewhere. So I understand, again, I understand the skepticism, because you are really walking a delicate balance when you're trying to do what's happening in Athens, Tuscaloosa, and elsewhere, only you're not living even anywhere near in the same neighborhood of the mansions that they have right now. You're just trying to build, you know, a starter home, and they're adding, you know, mother-in-law suites all across their, you know, 100-acre property. So it's a challenge, and it's an uphill climb, and that's why, you know, what Florida once was is not what Florida is, and, you know, we'll see if they can ever get back there.
And I want to make sure to you and the audience, I'm not blaming you, Jesse. I'm just asking you questions, because I sat through the two interviews last week, and I wanted to go out and buy stock after both Scott and Billy came by our set. The only problem is the broker wouldn't give me any credit based on what I heard and based on what we saw, which brings me to two guys that you could get a lot of stock in. It's expensive, though. Josh Heupel and the man from Baton Rouge, Brian Kelly. So give us your read on those programs and why they seem to be doing so well right now, and what's ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, obviously, again, they're resurgent. What Heupel's done his first two seasons in Knoxville, surprising, obviously, because I think his hire was not considered, you know, to be all suns and roses, I think, with some Vol fans, but they are obviously singing his praises like crazy right now with what he's done offensively. If Tim Banks and that group can really just build together even a functional competitive defense, I think Tennessee is going to continue to make noise. Perhaps they're not going to have that 10-11 win season, bounce back. Maybe 2024 is when they can kind of compete for the college football playoff again. But perhaps that does actually happen this fall if they can pull off an upset or two. I am as high on LSU as anybody. a year ago on various programs, I was singing Brian Kelly's praises, and I said, I have no idea why everyone is shortchanging LSU. I know they were thin, but I thought they were the ultimate kind of Jekyll and Hyde team. And I said, if any team in the SEC West is going to push Alabama for the West in year one, I had Brian Kelly. I didn't think it was going to be Jimbo Fisher. Obviously, no one believed in Brian Harsin. Lo and behold, Kelly did that. And I just think, you know, he's a guy who won at Notre Dame, and now he just simply has better players and an even better support system around him. So you talk about a program this year, Paul, that they're bringing back. They're the only team. Here's a stat for you. They're the only team in the SEC that has the same head coach, same offensive and defensive coordinator, and same starting quarterback who started every single game last season back in 2023. They're obviously not just a dark horse contender, for the SEC, but I think they have a legitimate path to reach the college football playoff this fall. Starts week one. You got to beat Florida State down in Orlando, but it's going to be a heck of a game, but I really like LSU in 2023.
Jesse, I know it's somewhat verboten to say anything about Nick Saban other than he's the greatest of all time. We get all that. We talk to a lot of people, and we agree he is. But I want you to differentiate what you just got through saying about Brian Kelly, the fact you think they can get to Atlanta and maybe the playoffs, versus what we know or maybe what we don't know about Alabama this fall.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, part of the reason why when we're all in Nashville together for SEC Media Days in July, you're going to see LSU be the pick for the West and not Alabama, I think, is because the Tide just simply have more questions than the Tigers right now. Alabama just signed their best recruiting class ever under Nick Saban. You know, yes, he may have his faults here and there, but he's showing no signs of quote-unquote slowing down or this, you know, dynasty crumbling to ashes here. He obviously needs to get back and win another national title to kind of reassert his throne at the top of the sport. But I think Alabama is going to be extremely competitive this fall.
Yeah, having said all that, you're still picking LSU, though. Why?
Because I think I like what LSU has at quarterback, not only as the starter, but if Jaden Daniels goes down, I think Garrett Nussmeier is the best backup quarterback in the country. It does not give me a ton of confidence, Paul, that Nick Saban and his new offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, spent the entire spring looking at Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson and decided, hey, we need to go get Tyler Buchner, Tommy, the same guy that you just recruited over for 6 weeks before I hired you when you got Sam Hartman to come to Notre Dame from Wake Forest. So that doesn't give me a ton of confidence in terms of Alabama's quarterback spot. I think the pieces around the quarterback spot are going to be fantastic. But if I'm, you know, if you're talking about a 51-49 sort of percentage between LSU and Alabama, I'm going to go with the guys that I think the fact that LSU has not only one but two better options than the Tide.
Just outstanding analysis. Jesse, that's what we wanted. That's what's so difficult, too, because we know that Saban is a long way from the end. But you and some of your colleagues are leaning the other direction. And I just wanted somebody to finally say why you did. That's why we're always thrilled to have Jesse Simonton on from On3. Many thanks, Jesse. We'll take a break here. More to come. We're just underway here on a Monday afternoon. A lot happening. Phone calls, guests, speculation about the schedule, and a look ahead to the season. We'll do that in just a moment with our friend Brad Crawford.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. So we keep hearing about what people think the SEC should have done. We know they are in the process or have already done it. We will know more in a week and 2 days. But why wait? Why wait when you have Brad Crawford on here to tell us exactly what we're about to find out? Brad, thank you. Appreciate your time. As always, of course, none of us really know, or you, maybe you do know, I don't know. But give us an idea, I think, of what this eight-game schedule is going to look like. And I don't think we can figure out yet the difference if that extra game. But you've been giving some thought to it. What's your best guess? You think we're going to be happy a week from Wednesday night?
I think we're going to be happy because we're going to see a 2024 SEC football schedule, the most rabid bunch of fan bases in college football, and we're going to get that in 2024. Paul, if you've seen my pen and paperwork trying to sort this out and getting 16 different eight-game SEC schedules right and trying to get it to work and make all teams happy, look, the league office has a lot to do right now over these next 10, 12 days trying to sort this out. It's going to first try and protect, you know, as many rivalries as possible. The Iron Bowl, Egg Bowl, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee. So that's kind of where I started with this. And then I went down to, you know, scribbling out regional matchups and tried to balance the scheduling. But we know, Paul, that not every SEC program is going to be happy with its 2024 schedule. I'm talking about probably the Arkansas and Auburns of the world.
Well, I'm just, you may know in your head because this is complicated.
Yeah.
Let's just go through all 16 now. I can't remember how many schools the SEC has because it's going to change next year. So however you would like to do it, would you like to go, since there are no divisions anymore in 24, let's start talking about it, and then we'll make a determination on whether we like it or not.
Yeah, you know, theoretically, you could have a team like Arkansas, Paul, taking on Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU in the same season. All right, congrats on half your conference schedule being an absolute nightmare against, you know, top 20 elite programs. I mean, the first time through this, I think I had Auburn playing home games against Texas and LSU and having road trips against Georgia and Alabama. That's almost impossible for Hugh Freeze to, you know, transition that program from the Harsin era in year two to a, you know, top 10 team. So Hugh Freeze does not want to see that. But like I said, I think we're going to see the elites of the SEC, the Texas, the Alabamas, the Georgias, have a balanced schedule with a healthy mix of ranked teams in there. And then you're going to see the teams that are kind of mid-tier, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Arkansas, they're going to have a lot more difficult games if they do go to a 9-game schedule. But right now, we're just projecting the 8.
Let me start with Alabama for this reason. There's some people inside, Brad, that think Nick Saban bailing on the 9 may have doomed it because he made it easier for some of the middle of the Packers to say, okay, listen, Nick Saban doesn't like it, then and we don't like it, and he's been in favor of it. And it's always felt that Saban, when he came out with that interview a couple of months ago with Dellinger, he didn't like the idea of LSU being on there as a permanent. He didn't like the idea of Tennessee being on there. We knew Auburn would be. But based on what you write here, he may not like this schedule either. Tell us what you have for Alabama.
Look, and the reason Nick Saban might not be for a 9-game schedule right now is because – starting in 2024, Alabama plays two Power 5 teams outside the SEC annually for like an 8 or 9 game stretch. You're talking about Florida State's on the schedule, Wisconsin's on the schedule, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Ohio State, all those teams are included. So I can see why Alabama does not want to do that. But one game that I think Alabama will play next season, Paul, that I did not project in the initial projection is home against South Carolina. Alabama has not played South Carolina at Bryant-Denny, I want to say since 2009, a Stephen Garcia-Mark Ingram game. That's over 10 years ago. And I think the last time the Gamecocks played Alabama was in 2019 or 2020, I want to say, at Williams-Brice Stadium. Before that was 2010 at Williams-Brice again. So the Gamecocks owe Alabama a road game in Tuscaloosa. That is one game that I think Alabama will have on its 2024 schedule.
You also have them, again, all this can change. You have them against LSU, A&M, at Oklahoma, at Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn. I mean, that almost seems inconceivable. And it makes me wonder what that ninth conference game for everyone would have looked like. I don't know if you've even thought about that, but for all the hue and cry from your colleagues in the national media, everyone who wanted to slam the commissioner and talk about how weak the SEC looked, that's not a weak schedule that I just read here that you wrote for Alabama.
Yeah, I think the good news for Alabama fans is you won't have to play Texas in 2024 and likely not in 2025 either, even if the SEC does move to a 9-game schedule. Bama playing this home-and-home with Texas, I think, saves the Crimson Tide from having to deal with Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns past this season, unless they meet in the playoff or something like that. But I do think Oklahoma, one of the SEC's two new programs coming in next year, I do think Bama's going to face the Sooners, likely in Norman, starting next season.
And I'm really interested, Brad, where the mindset, because I believe the schedule's already done. I think the schedule has, you know, we've heard the commissioner talk about 8 zillion right. different combinations. It's not hard. You just press a button and it figures it out. And there's nothing has happened since this last conversation the league had other than one game has been dropped. Now, how you figure that, I don't know. But in terms of what the reaction is going to be, without going down every school, do you think most of the big games that we thought would be, whether Missouri or A&M or Texas or Oklahoma, you think those are going to be on the schedule?
I think there are. You're going to see Texas A&M, one of the most anticipated games of 2024. That's a rivalry, Paul, that I want to say hasn't been played in 13 or 14 years. And we know sort of the infighting that's happened between both those programs over this decade stretch. So with Texas coming in, we're going to see that game. We're going to see all of these, you know, traditional rivalry games. The Iron Bowl's not going anywhere. Bama fans don't have to panic about that. Hugh Freeze is going to play Nick Saban every single season, as long as he keeps his job on the Plains. You're going to have Auburn, Georgia, in my opinion. Alabama-Tennessee, Paul, is the game that I've heard could be taken off the schedule as an annual game. That's one of those secondary rivalries that Greg Sankey and the SEC are going to do its best to protect, but that might be one where, you know, Tennessee gets taken off for one of those bigger name schools, maybe no disrespect to the Vols being a bigger name school, but one of the new ones, OU possibly, and Texas down the road.
I realize you did an 8-game schedule, but
yeah,
I'm hung up on that ninth game. I'd love to see somebody say these are the games that are going to be cut out. It's complicated.
Yeah.
But what do you think in having done the math on this? And I realize we're just spitballing here, but what kind of games do you think we are losing as a result?
Well, doing the math, Paul, if we do move to a 9-game schedule in the SEC in 2025 and beyond, you're going to see some of those Power 5 non-conference games being taken off. You're not going to see a situation where Bama plays West Virginia, Florida State, and then has to deal with a 9-game schedule. Nick Saban's already won 6 national titles, and what, 3 of them are during the current 4-team playoff era. And expanding to 12 starting in 2024, the SEC doesn't have to add a 9th game in order to be college football's top dog still, though the Big Ten certainly gaining ground there. So, you know, the good news is, Paul, we don't have to worry about this. Only 2024 for now. Greg Sankey, the SEC, have to figure that out first. And the conversation about the 9-game schedule, I think, really heats up next year when this reworked ESPN deal kind of gets finalized down the road. But you know, the SEC is going to do all it can to try and make these schedules competitively balanced. But man, I just see a lot of hate probably coming from Starkville or Oxford or Fayetteville when, you know, those teams in the traditional SEC West now have to deal with another ranked team or two on the schedule.
It's called being in the SEC, as you and everybody watching and listening knows. Brad, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. We are off and running. First 30 minutes, very busy. And calls coming up in a moment. We look forward to visiting with you.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Big 12 expansion. They have an appetite. A lot of rumors out there, according to one talk show host. Can't remember where he's from or what his name is, but he said that that Colorado and Arizona are heading. We got Shahan will join us shortly. And Pat, hang down your head. Pat Dooley will join us. Was that Tom? Is that Tom Dooley, I think?
Tom Dooley, yeah.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Well, it's Pat from now on. Your phone calls. Now, finally, Andre begins the show from the calls. Good afternoon.
Hey, Coach, what's going on, Coach?
We are doing well.
Good. Great interview, Coach. Great interview.
Thank you.
Listen, you know, this here neighborhood we call the SEC, this is big boy ball. This is, you know, 1880, bare knuckle fighting. And this is the way it is with the coaches we have in this conference, the recruiting, the talent. No other conference can boast that they have this assortment of talent. Yeah, the Pac-12 can say they got a great quarterback class, but hell, that's just for 1 year. After that, this thing's still going to go back to the way it is. But, man, Florida and Billy Napier, man, I'm an LSU fan, but I don't think it's going to take long before they snatch a chain, Coach. But
yeah, Andre, you know, when you've been there a year and you're selling yourself on success because you had it at Louisiana.
And this ain't the raging cage.
No, no. And the first thing you do is blow NIL. But I want a. Where can I buy a mulligan? Is there the guy when I walked in the county fair? Was he selling them?
Listen, Rick Neuhauser say a fair is where you put a blue ribbon on a pig. Yeah. Ain't nothing fair about this, Coach.
No.
And the fans down in Gainesville are getting restless. I don't have a dog in the fight because I'm an LSU fan, but in the SEC, they don't care about the money.
No.
Jimbo had one more bad year, they're going to buy him out. That's just how it goes down here. But, hey, Coach, I listen to you every day, man, and a great interview, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. I'm impressed with Napier every time we see him, but you cannot – this isn't Napier, but these are some of his legions – you can't use that he's following the Kirby Smart, Nick Saban blueprint. How many times have we seen that in Gainesville? Will Muschamp, McElwain, those were Saban disciples. Program nearly got wrecked twice. John in Louisville is on.
Yeah, what blueprint was Jeremy Pruitt following?
Something that he picked up from Rush Probst at Hoover High School.
No doubt. Hey, Paul, I've got a question, but first let me ask you this. the former USC athletic director, the former athletic, or excuse me, Alabama baseball coach, or the former marketing executive at Bud Light, or Phil Still trying to get all the right players and the right teams before his college preview goes out to the printer. What's more difficult?
I would think it would be Phil Still, just having known Phil many years.
Getting all those players in the right team.
There's no way you can do a yearbook and make it timely and get everything right, because the world of college sports changes so much.
By the day, and as for the top three, they'll have to choose a new career. Hey, Paul, I wanted to get an update first on Jeremy Pruitt matter, and also on the gambling investigation of the players in Iowa. Have you heard anything on either one?
The only thing I've heard of Iowa are a bunch of Republican candidates for president. No, they apparently had a state fair of their own over the weekend. Nothing there, nothing on Pruitt. We are waiting right now for the NCAA. They met 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and we should have some indications soon.
Hey, Paul, as for the 8 or 9 games, I could care less, but you've got Ohio State going down to Alabama playing them. You've got Texas and Oklahoma playing Michigan. I think there's enough variety of games.
What I don't understand, though, and you know, you've got a bunch of people mostly on Twitter pontificating, taking shots, and I'm not opposed to that. I made a career doing that. Let me be perfectly clear. But I don't understand the criticism of the SEC here when it's temporary. We may find out next Wednesday night the schedule is just as good. Maybe we missed out on a handful of games. And I think most people agree. They should have gone to 9. They didn't for a reason. It's temporary. It's interim. But, you know, listening to some of the lords of college football pontificate and poppycock like the SEC has just gone into the gutter is some of the most absurd commentary I've ever heard.
They've been hard on Sankey. They've been hard on the millionaire coaches who seemingly want an easier schedule. I think 1 year to just see how things settle and work out, it makes more sense than just jamming in 9 games.
John, thank you. I'm going to stick with this prediction I made the other night. That schedule, when it comes out, you're going to look at it and go, oh, my goodness. A 9th game would have been Armageddon. I think the schedule is going to be very tough for all the, especially the big schools. That's where the action is. And you know, you don't want to load up on certain schools in the SEC, but you're almost going to have to. But the big guns, Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Tennessee, I don't think they're going to catch much of a break losing a conference game. Thank you very much for the call. Ken is in California. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, real quickly on the SEC scheduling, and I don't have any of these media, Twitters, whatever things, so I don't really know what people are saying, but I've written letters to a couple of other sports people who never got back to me. I don't know. To me, I think this would just be incredible. I think they should go to 4, just for football only, for 4 team divisions, one with Texas A&M, Missouri, and Oklahoma, the other LSU, Mississippi State, Arkansas, the other Bama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, the other Vandy, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky. Every 3 years you're going to play everybody, because you rotate one division that you play each year. And then for the 8th week, what you have is the first place teams play off each other, second place teams play off each other, third place teams play off each other, fourth place teams play off each other to give you the 8th game. And then for the 2 first place teams, you get your championship game. And I think the SEC could even actually add a 9th game by letting the losers of each game play against each other, because the NCAA seems to do whatever the SEC wants them to do. But just my opinion.
Yeah, Ken, thanks for the call. And I appreciate everyone coming up with suggestions, but it's written in stone now what's happening. It'll be 8 and ultimately 9, no division. So thank you very much for the call from California. We head to the break. More guests to come in the next couple of hours. We're off and running.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Bob is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Paul.
Well, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to respond. I heard Michael Bratton's analysis of how Saban is over the hill and LSU and is flown past Georgia and Alabama. And as a Georgia fan and as a fan that appreciates what Coach Saban has done in Alabama, we just lost the number one running back to Alabama this week. We're both having the first and second recruiting classes in the nation. How does LSU fly by us without winning anything on the field?
It's a fair question. Thank you very much for asking it, Bob. Billy is up next in Philly. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. I wanted to compliment you on last week's program. And I don't think anybody could have done what you did. I think you got everybody who was important on your show because it was you.
Thank you.
And I think with talk radio and stuff going to hell in a handbasket, which it has since Rush Limbaugh died, that what you're doing is very, very remarkable. Now, that's not the only reason I called, but to tell you what a great job you're doing.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about California. The legislature, it seems to me, have come throw a real wrench in the system by, you know, pouring all this money on two schools that are now entering the Big Ten. It's their problem, not ours, but I just want some intelligent comment on what's going on there, because it seems to me idiotic.
Yeah, I mean, I'll spare you it's California, therefore, but California is what? One-sixth of the United States population, something like that. So it's a lot of people, involves a lot of different aspects. I think it still has to pass the other house, but if it does, it could cause tremendous damage because, you know, you've already seen two schools bolt. And I don't know how you can put that one back in the bottle, Billy.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be in the Big Ten. I mean, these guys are coming in able to overpay, outpay everything that you're ever going to spend on players. I mean, they're going to have professional teams.
Well,
who needs that?
You know, it's interesting because you heard from Kirby Smart last week and others, coming after. I mean, they were really going after Missouri, which has changed its NIL, and I think a couple of other states are in the process. Meanwhile, that's where the action is right now, and I'm not faulting this March on Washington Wednesday, but with all the SEC coaches, but I think the state houses and the state senates are really where the action is right now, not the U.S. Capitol.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I just think that it's, I thought it was.
By the way, if you can get uniform national policy, then that will supersede state, but I don't think they're going to get it soon, anytime soon.
Okay. Well, I hope not. But I gather you think the same thing I did. This is a terrific problem.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean, California right now is, remember 3 years ago, everybody was leaving California. To high school players were leaving because of the restrictions from COVID. Now they're flipping around, and it's you have to pay attention to it though, because there's it involves so many different people. Hey, thank you, Billy. It's a great question. Matt is up next.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Steinbaum? Look, I got a beef with your so-called guests that come on who bash A&M and say this is gonna be a train wreck. It's gonna be a disaster for Jimbo this year. Okay. And say LSU's a darling of the West to win the SEC this year. I think that's all a bunch of crap. And Arkansas is a loser team, so I don't get what Gaon's friend said about them either. A&M has 15 starters coming back this year, Paul. Yes, you were a joke last year, but we're not going to be this year. We have a 5-star quarterback in Connor Women trying to be better than any other quarterback in the conference. And at the same time, we still got a bunch of 4-stars and 3-star quarterback on there. That was last year. Machino is one of the best offensive minds, so I understand why people are leaving us for dead, Paul. How much your honest, non-biased opinion, like I know you are.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.